Welcome to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. And my interview today is with Alex Sanchez. On May 3rd of 2019, Alex Sanchez became the new executive director of the Valley Settlement Project, the Carbondale-based nonprofit that has been educating and engaging immigrant children and their parents for the last 8 years. Upper management is not a new thing for Alex. For the last 20 years, he has managed communication and community engagement organizations and served as the director of Denver Public Schools and the executive director of Austin's Independent School District. Most recently, he has served as the chief strategist for the ASF Strategy Group, an international company that assists organizations with public relations, multicultural outreach, and community engagement. I started our interview by asking Alex to describe the village in Mexico where he spent the first 6 years of his life.
My first memories is of this kind of beautiful, small, little town, population about 500, no more than 1,000 people, all the families know each other. And my first memories are being in my grandfather and my grandmother's house, which is right in the center of the little small town. And right in front of their home used to be a corral where all the bulls and the cows would, all the ranchers, it's a ranching and farming community. And so the corral is a center of the community. There's a lot of festivities, a lot of events and celebrations that happen in that corral. So I remember as a child always enjoying going to my grandfather's and my grandma's house because you could literally walk across and be in that just space. I lived in that town from the age of 6 months old to the age of 6 years old. And so I remember going to kindergarten, which is also near my grandfather's kind of house. And I remember going to first grade and second grade. And I think at the age of 6 years old is when I came back for the first time to the Valley. And we came as a family. Several families from that very small town came to the Roaring Fork Valley for the first time.
What were the circumstances?
As a farming community in a small community in Mexico, you know, the jobs, the very few jobs disappeared as you know, the families that owned land and farmed, they could no longer kind of compete and make ends meet. And so there's always pioneers who migrated first. And so there was one or two individuals from that same town that left and came here to the Roaring Fork Valley. And they found work, they found opportunity, and they send word to others. And my dad was kind of the second kind of wave of generation. You can track those kind of four or five men who first migrated from this small little town who were farmers and ranchers in their own home country. And because of lack of opportunity, they traveled north. They followed those kind of one or two pioneers and they became part of that cohort of pioneers that first came and settled here in the Roaring Fork Valley. And that's how it all started. As immigrants, you support each other. And as the families kind of followed, and my family followed when I was 6 years old, along with some of the other families from those same men who moved here with my father. And I remember, and most of them were my relatives. We were blood relatives and neighbors from the same community. We grew up as children together, and we crossed the border together. I don't quite remember the as vividly as the second time I crossed the border with my family.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Alex Sanchez. Alex is the new director of the Valley Settlement Project. Here he's describing how he came back to the United States from Mexico when he was a boy. I've heard this from the Italians who came a generation, two generations before, settled in Moody Creek. The first few that came sent for the others, and it's the immigrant story, really.
Absolutely, and I think that's the beautiful part of, I think, the Roaring Fork Valley, whether you came as immigrants in the 1800s through Independence Pass, or you're any of the other waves of immigration that's and new immigrants that are coming in even today, taking different routes, different paths. But I think this community very well knows the immigrant stories. And unless you're part of the Ute, natives who were here obviously before the 1800s, before the Independence Pass settlers, we're all immigrants to this valley. And you help each other. I mean, I've been privileged to have grown up in this beautiful, Latino immigrant community and culture that we've created. I remember when I was 9 was the second time that we crossed. So when I was 6, we crossed the first time. My dad was already here working in some of the restaurants in Aspen. My mom and my brother and I followed. She started working in the hotels, and she got deported. And so when she got deported, the family followed my mom back to that same town. And I was in that same small town until the age of 9, which was the second time.
What did that feel like for you? Do you have memories? I mean, it must have been terrifying for you to have your mom suddenly doesn't come home.
Yeah, I was fairly young, but I do remember being in El Jebel. The bus station, if you recall, back in those days, was right in front of the Bella Mia Italian restaurant. That's where the bus stop was. And so my mom got off that bus, and there was a raid. Back then, we referred to that agency as INS. Now we refer to them as ICE, which is Immigration and Customs. And so they did a raid, and what they typically do is they get adults, they put them in these vans or these vehicles, and then they go to their residence. And so I remember not knowing what was going on. Obviously, I was told after the fact, but I vividly remember being in one of the trailer homes in El Jebel, and my grandma always used to take care of us, and she took care of many other kids. So I remember being put in a closet with all these kids and my grandma as someone was knocking on the door. And it's typically INS officials as they go from home to home to be able to typically it's to be able to pick up more people. And so no one answered that home. And that's really the only memory I have other than taking that road trip back to Mexico at that age. And my father bought a truck, and he put a camper on the back with a lot of sheets and games, and the kids were in the back. And we took that long ride home to be able to meet mom at the border, and then continued traveling south to our small little town. It took about 2 to 3 days.
Wow. Yeah. What? So you went back there for 3 years and started school again?
Again, went back to that same school with the same teachers, and it was in fifth grade that the family chose to come back. Again, to this valley. And so I have more vivid memories of that experience, having been, a little bit older. But we crossed, in the middle of the night in the Arizona kind of desert with other families too. I remember, crossing, highways. There's lots of, empty land, crossing highways, hiding after every single strip of highway that we crossed. In small little bushes, led by obviously one of the guides, otherwise also known as coyotes, as helicopters at night would pass through with lights, and then different vehicles. Obviously, it was an interstate. I'm assuming I haven't been to that same spot as an adult, but I'm assuming it's some of those freeways in Arizona.
Were you terrified, or was it at 9 years old? Was that more of an adventure?
It was probably a little bit of both. I think at 9 years old, you understand a lot more, and just being part of that, group experience. You're there with your uncles and aunts and cousins, and it's a family, multiple families. And so I'm sure there was some fear. I'm also sure that it was probably a little bit of an adventure.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories Program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Alex Sanchez. Alex is the new director of the Valley Settlement Project.
The irony of all this, also in the privilege, that the unfair privilege, is that I actually happened to have been born in Los Angeles. My family, my dad first came to the United States when he was 17. Back in those days, they started to recruit a lot of young people from small town Mexico, and they would being offered opportunities for employment both in the oil business as well as in farming, agriculture, which is a huge industry in our country. And so my dad was 17 years old the first time he migrated north, and he came to Wyoming, to Casper, Wyoming, for the oil business. And back in those days, some of these oil companies needed literally small hands to ensure that the drill, as they were drilling, the drill bits were not damaged by the debris. And so they used literally their small hands to be able to protect those drill bits. My dad
dangerous
tells me
work.
Yeah, my dad tells me about the awful stories about many immigrants losing their limbs. Thank goodness my dad was not one of them. He did do that for about 5 years, and then he migrated west to California, where he then started to work both the field, but also started to do more manufacturing type jobs, which is where dad would go back after every season, or after every couple of years, go back to his home town.
Right.
And that's where, and mom was a neighbor of his. And so they got married. Mom followed him to California. And the idea, back then for my parents is that while my brother and I were both conceived here, in the United States, their plan back then was that while they were conceived here, mom would go back before she gave birth, and she would have birth in Mexico, where she would be surrounded by her parents and family and the support structures. And so that they followed that plan with my brother. That was also the plan with me. So I was also conceived in the United States, and I just came a little bit early. And so but they still kept to their plan. As soon as I was 6 months old, mom followed the plan. She went back to her hometown to be with family and those support structures, and that's why we were all raised in Mexico, and then we would come back. By then, after I was born, then my dad kind of then followed the first pioneers from that little small town to the Roaring Fork Valley. They sent word that there were opportunities, and they were really looking for hardworking people. And so my dad was one of 5 to 6 men who originally, came to the Valley and started working in the restaurant and the service industry. And the rest is history. I think we have almost probably half of the town today has some sort of connection to the Roaring Fork Valley. Ironically, the name of that town is also El Colorado.
El Colorado.
El Colorado in Jalisco, Mexico.
It's interesting, but in your dad's day, that was much more of and your mom's, it was much more of an ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
But it started to change, and your mom was probably one of those folks caught up in that early change. Okay, we've invited you here to work, and now we have too many, so now we're going to start sending people back.
Yeah.
So it was really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as, for my entire life, I've always knew kind of this fear that the community has. And, as a child, you don't quite understand it at first, and then you start to realize what it means. And, parents go to work every single day not knowing if they're going to come back.
Did you sense that in your house? I mean, at 9 years old, you're starting to be pretty more of a sentient being, and you can...
I have to pause. It's always easy to talk about other families in other instances than probably your own.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting close to the heart of the matter, right? What was that like for you as a young kid to feel like the other?
Yeah, when you're young, you don't always understand everything that's happening. But as you start to understand the world, as you start to see some of the injustices, as you start to see that you are different, And that really the only difference is that you are a recent American. You are a newcomer to the community within the last 10 years. But you start to see what the adults feel like and the stress. There's a lot of stress that impacts our community. Because I'm sure it's tough to be able to go to work every single day, and especially in different political times. And we've had different waves. This is not new today. We've had different waves throughout our history, in recent history, where we've had a lot more, deportations or a lot more efforts to disintegrate families or to come in and pick up as many folks as the federal government can. And so that takes a toll on the families and the toxic stress that comes with that, the trauma that both the adults and the children probably face.
You still feel it deeply, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's part of your DNA.
It makes you emotional.
It's part of who you are.
Yeah.
And, when you live through it, it's different.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Immigrant Stories program. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my interview today is with Alex Sanchez. Alex is the new director of the Valley Settlement Project. When Alex came back to Mexico to Basalt the second time, he was 9 years old. He remembers feeling lost and bored in school, and he began acting out. But Alex's teachers and counselors saw his potential and took the time to help him adjust and excel. 20 years ago, you graduated from Basalt High School.
Basalt High School. I'm a Longhorn. It's a proud Longhorn.
Go Longhorns.
Go Longhorns,
oh,
yeah.
Can we say that?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, oh. Absolutely. It was a great, great experience in high school. I graduated in 1999 from Basalt High School. Technically, it was 98. I think I walked. It was a December ceremony when I technically graduated from high school, but my class is 1999.
You've been around the world literally in the last 20 years doing communications work and public relations work. What is it that brings you back here to the Valley at this time in your career and your life?
I've moved, I think, 15 times in my life. And I think being part of an immigrant family, I enjoy going to new places, learning new cultures. It forces you to put yourself in a different situation, in a situation that's going to challenge you to make connections, to make friendships, to find your own community. And I think it's that immigrant experience growing up here in this valley and moving from Mexico to here that has allowed me to and inspired me to continue that journey as an adult. And I've lived in Texas, and I've lived in Florida, and I've lived in the East Coast, and I've lived in other countries like Spain. But I think it's that immigrant experience. I just enjoyed that. Home is home. And I the Roaring Fork for me is home as well. And so I think we always want to be closest to our family, to the people that raised us, the people that saw us grow up. And so to be able to come back and do the very same work that I've done in other communities, which is around, family programming, which is around immigrant rights, which is about integration and social justice, to be able to do it now in the community, in my own community, in my own valley, it's just very rewarding. It's a homecoming. And I think at least I've always dreamt of doing this. I just never imagined, because it's a small community, that I would have an opportunity to be able to contribute, to be able to give back, and to be able to live in this valley that I've always felt it was has a deep, significant meaning to my upbringing.
There are a lot of listeners who know that Valley Settlement Project is doing good work, but they're not up to speed about what it is and what it does. Can you just elaborate a little bit about Valley Settlement and how you fit into this organization?
Yeah. So, Valley Settlement is an organization that's about 8 years old. It was started as a project of the Manaus Foundation. And it was visionaries who came together and wanted to create opportunities for the Latino community or the immigrant community in this valley, primarily Latinos, to be able to lead in their own space and to be able to create, co-create, and co-solve some of the challenges and opportunities that that I think the community faces. So that's, I think, organically how this organization got started. 3 years ago, it became its own independent nonprofit. We are a Carbondale-based nonprofit organization by Latinos for Latinos. It's an immigrant-led, immigrant-serving organization. We have wonderful leaders who are working every single day. They're part of the Latino community, and they are co-creating with our participants some of their, our programs that we offer. We have a variety of programs, including preschool, for example. We have four buses that we've converted into mobile classrooms, and we take them out to the different communities. We recognize in this valley that we don't have enough quality full-day preschool slots so that every single child who is in that age range can have access to it. Cost are barriers. Lack of spots are a barrier. And so we recognize that. And so our leaders, our own Latina leaders, our own members of the community created this program through Valley Settlement. And now we have four mobile classrooms that go out into Basalt, El Jebel, Glenwood, Carbondale to be able to serve that critical gap that exists today. That's just an example of some of the programs. We also work on adult education. We have a lifelong learner program where we're working with moms and dads and members of the community to be able to learn skill sets like English or math or computer skills, graphic design, and others, and photography. And so we do provide some of that professional growth and professional skills opportunity for people to continue to find better jobs, to continue to improve their own connections that they're making within the community. As an organization, we want to make sure that people are thriving. And to be able to thrive in a community, you have to be able to make connections with other humans. You have to be able to find a community. You have to be able to serve and volunteer and find the place where you're going to be able to lead, whatever that is. But you got to be able to find that sense of community. And that's always hard, especially when you're talking about an immigrant community. And so we're trying to create some of those opportunities with some of our participants.
Did you ever see yourself back here? A lot of young people leave and never have any idea that, nor intention to come back to the community where they grew up. Was it something that was in the back of your mind? Did you think you'd come back?
I always wanted to. It was certainly in the back of my mind that if an opportunity came about, I would absolutely take it. I just, to my earlier comment, when you're from a small community, there's just not a lot of opportunities, right? And so, and this is a beautiful, the Roaring Fork Valley. People come here because we love nature. We love the sense of community that we've created. We love our environment. And we want to retire here. We want to make a life. And so when we only have, so many organizations and we have so many positions that can allow a professional the opportunity to contribute back to a community at the same time lead an entity, there's just so many of them. And so typically it's you don't find them as often as you would in an urban setting, right? And so Someone like me, in the past I had been more competitive in the marketplace, for example, in big cities like Austin, Texas, and South Florida, or Denver, or the East Coast, because there's just a lot more opportunities. But to be able to come back home and be close to my relatives and be able to have dinner with family on a Tuesday if I wanted to, at the same time be able to contribute to my own community, be able to join others to chart the course that we want for the Latino community here, it's just something very special and something very meaningful. And it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for me, and I'm just so excited to be able to be back home.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here, and your parents must be very, very proud of you. When they came to the United States, I don't know if they had this dream in mind, that they would one day have a son who's running a Latino organization that helps others get a foot up, but I'm sure they're very, very proud.
Well, thank you. And I know that oftentimes when you're part of the immigrant community, you're the first. And hopefully, you know, my goal has always been that while I may, you know, sometimes be the first, I hope I'm not the last. And I hope I create opportunities for others. And I hope I get to help other individuals in our community who are leaders in their own way, but have yet to find that place in their own careers and their own journeys to be able to lead and chart their own course. I hope to be able to join forces with them to create those opportunities in their home community here in the Roaring Fork Valley or elsewhere if that's needed as well.
Well, best of luck to you, Alex. It's great to have you back here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Alex Sanchez. For more on Immigrant Stories, please go to our website, immigrantstories.net, or check us out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.